We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, Dave, and again, welcome to Yesteryear. On today's program, it's Box 13, starring Alan Ladd. But first, let's do as your mother always suggested, and enjoy The Life of Riley. The Life of Riley was first heard on NBC in the summer of 1943. Chester A. Riley, radio's riveter and resident hardhat, might have been the Archie Bunker of the 1940s. His expression of disgust became one of America's favorite sayings. William A. Bendix was just about perfect as Riley. The character was developed as the typical hard-working Joe, easily exasperated, but not easily defeated. A leaking roof, problems at the plant, or the manifestation of the kid's growing pains were enough to send Chester Riley into pandemonium. Before he was finished, what had been a minor problem became a grade A disaster. In 1945, The Life of Riley moved to Saturday night on NBC, continued there until 1951 as a Friday night show. The Life of Riley was virtually unscathed by the arrival of television, with Bendix carrying on as ever after the initial shows had featured Jackie Gleason as Riley. Here now, from September 20th of 1947, is The Life of Riley and Junior Runs Away from Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went. Can you top this? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marr, Jameis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do.
The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. As a rule, the members of the Riley family get along quite amicably. But every now and then, the father and the son come into conflict with each other. A conflict that's usually resolved when the more intelligent of the two gives in gracefully. But today, Junior Riley seems particularly stubborn.
But, Pop, why can't I get a jalopy? I can drive swell.
Junior, stop arguing. I told you for the last time you're not getting no car.
But, Pop, it's only $40.
$40? You must think I'm made of dough. All I got is this one nickel to my name. Me, the head of the house. And your mother won't give me my allowance till Monday.
But I'm not asking you for money. I saved up $40 and I can get a swell little car and fix it. And
I said no. My head's made up.
No. Now, Junior, when your father says no, he means no.
Oh, I can never get anything out of him.
Junior.
Let me handle this, Peg. Now, look, son, I ain't selfish like some fathers. I love to make sacrifices for my kids and give them things. To show you the kind of a father I am, you got $40 saved up for a jalopy? Save up $3,000 more and I'll buy you a brand new Cadillac.
But this won't cost you any money.
It ain't the money. I'm not going to have you speed in a car knocking over pedestrians.
Anyway, you're too young.
Yeah, wait till you're older. You can get a license to do it.
Now, go get dressed, or we'll be late for my club's picnic. You gotta go. I got us entered in the father and son race.
I'm not going.
Now, listen, Junior.
Never mind, Peg. Let him stay home. I don't need him. I'll get his sister to be in the father and son race. Come on, let's go. Babs, you ready?
All set, Daddy. What's all the rumpus about?
No, they won't let me buy a car. And all the other fellas are
Junior, I don't want to hear that word mentioned in this house again.
But why can't I have a car?
That settles it. You've got to be punished. No allowance for the next 4 weeks. And no football. You come right home after school and stay in your room.
Oh, but that's not fair.
I'm your father. I don't have to be fair.
Oh, you're always... I'll run away someday. You'll see.
Junior.
Yes, I will. I'll run away. You'll see. You'll be sorry.
Now look what you've done.
Look what I've done? It's a losing fight.
Oh, Junior, dear.
Now wait, Peg. Don't go in there. Let him stay in his room till he's ready to apologize. Now, come on, we'll be late for the picnic.
Oh, you and Babs, go ahead. I don't want to leave him like this.
Oh, he'll be all right. Peg, all kids talk about running away, but they never do.
Well, some of them do. You told me when you were a kid, you once ran away from home.
Oh, but that was different. My father was chasing me. Let's go.
Oh, Riley, I'm worried.
Stop worrying. He's just talking. I know child psychology. I just put myself in his place, and I know exactly what he's thinking.
You can't know.
Yes, I can. I may be 40 years old, but I can still think like a child.
Oh, hurry, Babs. Can't you walk a little faster, Riley?
What's the rush, Dumplin'?
Well, I want to get home. When a boy of 13 talks about running away, it's serious.
Fine thing, dragging me away in the middle of the pie-eating contest. I was 3 pies ahead, too.
Will you stop it, Riley? Here I am, sick with worry, but you care less for your own son than you do for those nauseating pies.
I resent that. There's nothing I care for more than my nauseating son. I mean, I worry about him plenty.
Please, Daddy, don't shout on the street. Well, you don't look very worried now.
That's because there's nothing to worry about. Silly. The kid ain't going to run away just
because...
Oh, stop
talking so much and open the door.
No free speech anymore.
Junior. Junior. Oh, I hear him in his room. Junior, is that you in there? Oh, Junior, why didn't you answer?
Oh, hello.
What are you doing with all those clothes?
Mother, look, he hid a suitcase under the bed.
I knew it. I told you he'd try to run away, but you wouldn't listen. You know all about boys.
Now, wait, just because he's packing don't mean he's running away.
Well, what else could it mean?
Well, maybe he's getting married or...
Junior, how could you even think of running away? You ought to be ashamed.
I don't care. I can run away if I want to.
Junior, I won't hear that kind of talk.
Now, hold on, Peg. Let me handle this.
Well, go on then.
So you want to run away from home, huh, Junior? Okay, go ahead, run away.
Riley!
I know what I'm doing, Peg, psychology. Come on, son, run away. I give you permission. Come on, I'll help you pack.
Chester, Riley, are you out of your mind?
Just temporarily. Come out here, Peg, I want to talk to you. Go on with your packing, Junior.
Riley, what are you up to?
Now, don't you get it? The best way to stop a kid from doing a thing is to tell him to do it.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Youngsters always do the opposite from what you tell them. That's the way I was when I was a boy. Whatever my folks said, I did the opposite. They said go to school, I went to work. They said work in an office, I worked in a factory. They said marry that beautiful girl, Mary Wallace, I married you.
I'll
tell him to run away. He'll stay home.
Yes, but suppose
he... You watch. He won't even leave the house. Now, you go make supper. I'll go back in there and use my psychology.
Oh, be careful now.
Well, Junior...
Daddy, you ought to straighten out this little dope. All he can talk about is running away to Mexico.
Mexico, huh? Well, in that case, I might as well say goodbye to you, Junior. Buenas noches, senorita. When you're down there, send me a basket of cucarachas. They're my favorite dish.
Daddy, it's no joke. He needs a...
Babs, go help your mother.
Oh, all right.
Well, son, as we Mexicans say, hasta la visitor.
Oh, quit making fun of me. I will run away someday. You'll see.
Someday? We'll do it now. Believe me, you love it. Here, let me pack for you. Yes, sir. I once ran away and joined the circus. They gave me a job as night watchman. I'd still be there, only I got fired. Somebody stole an elephant right from under my nose. Here, Junior, you better take along these sweaters and this heavy underwear. It might be cold. Yes, sir, Junior, I had the best time of my life. There's nothing like running away from home.
Well, don't worry, I will.
You bet you will, and that's an order. And say, son, I notice you got pictures of me and your mother and your sister on the dresser there. Not that you'll get lonesome never seeing us, but might be a good thing to have them along.
Well, okay. Hand me Mom's picture, will you?
Yeah, here you are.
And Babs' picture?
There. And here's...
That's all.
Well, you might as well take mine, too, in case you want something to start a fire with. Well, you finish your packing. Don't forget to come in and say goodbye before you run away. Hey.
Right. Hey. Is everything all right?
Perfecto, senor. He's cured.
Oh, thank heaven.
You know what did it? I ordered him to run away.
You what?
I told him what a great time he'd had. Oh, he fell for it like a ton of bricks.
Oh, then he promised he wouldn't go?
Well, he didn't go that far. His pride wouldn't let him. But don't worry, he won't leave this house.
What's he doing now?
Oh, he's probably unpacking the valise. I packed it for him.
You packed it?
Yes, sir, and that's what really changed his mind.
Oh, well, I'm glad that's over. Oh, Junior, supper's on the table. He's gone.
He can't be. He must be hiding here someplace. Look in his valise.
Oh, the valise is gone. Look, the window's open. He went out the window.
No, he couldn't have. He must be hiding. Junior, come out. Don't play hide and seek. I'll find him.
Oh, stop looking in the inkwell. He went out the window. Oh, look, the shrubbery's all trampled.
Peg. My first hunch was right. He's gone.
You and your psychology. Oh, of all this stupid insane things.
Now, take it easy. This is all part of my plan. I knew he'd go.
You knew?
Well, sure. I figured he'd leave the house and then I'd follow him, see?
Well, then what are you standing there for? Go after it.
Yeah, I'm going. No, don't you worry, Peg. This is all part of my plan, see? Psychology. I'll give him enough rope until he hangs me.
Step lively, watch the step. Come on, kid, make up your mind. You getting on this bus or not?
I'm getting on.
Well, snap into it. I ain't got all day.
Junior, wait for me. Hold it. Wait. Whew. I made it.
Deposit 5 cents in the box.
Another second and I'd have missed you, sonny.
Suppose you want to take me home now. Well, okay, let's get off.
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't think of it. I'll just go along with you a little way.
Hey, what is this, a coffee clutch? Deposit 5 cents in the box.
Oh, gee, I left my money at home. I'll have to get off.
No, you won't. Here, I'll lend you a nickel. That's for my boy's fare, driver.
Okay. How about your fare?
Oh, sure. Well, that was my last nickel.
Now, look, Mac, put your fare in the box or get off with the bus.
But you don't understand, driver. This is an emergency. My boy here is running away from home, and I've come to see him off. You know how it is. You're probably a father yourself. It ain't every day a boy runs away from home.
He's running away, and you're seeing him off?
Yeah.
There's nothing in the regulations that says I gotta transport screwballs. Now, get off!
No, hey, wait. Now, wait a minute. Take it easy, you. Wait, stop! Junior, get back. He's gone. Could it be there's something wrong with my psychology?
Oh, Riley, is that you? Where have you been? Well, where's Junior? Didn't you find...
I got news for you. Junior's run away.
Oh, didn't you find him?
Well, I did and I didn't.
Well, what do you mean, Daddy?
Talk sense.
Well, I saw him getting on a bus, so I got on too, but he didn't have any money for his fare.
So they put him off?
Well, no, I lent him a nickel.
You lent him a nickel?
Don't worry, he's good for it.
Oh, how could you do such a stupid thing?
Well, let me explain. You'll understand. You see, I figured that Junior would... You see, the bus was only... I thought if I went... How can I expect you to understand? I don't understand myself.
I I should have gone after him myself. Oh, Riley, you'll give me gray hair.
No, don't cry, Peg. If I do, I'll tear him out by the roots. That's a promise.
Oh, there's no sense standing here. We've got to find him.
I'm calling the police.
No, you mustn't do that. We don't want a scandal. You know what the neighbors are like. They'll see the cops coming in here, and they'll think you beat me up.
Well, they won't be far wrong. And I don't care what the neighbors think. I want to find my poor boy.
Well, so do I, but wait till tonight. He's sure to come back by then. I know just what's going on in his mind. So let's just use a little psych...
If you say that word once more, I'll...
Oh, I don't know why I ever listened to you. If it hadn't been for you, Junior,
don't
never...
Don't cry, Dumplin'. Everything will be okay. I'll find him. I know it's natural for a mother to worry, but believe me, in 1 hour, your worries will be over. I'll have him back here, dead or alive.
We'll hear the second act of The Life of Riley in a moment.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now back to The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley.
Hello, Beb.
Hello, Daddy. Any sign of him?
No, I looked everywhere. I turned the town upside down.
But where would a kid like Junior go to?
That's what I asked myself. I said to myself, where would I go if I was a kid and I ran away from home? I must have been to every burlesque show in town. Where's your mother?
Still out looking for Junior. She called before and she sounded awful over the phone.
Oh, I just can't face her, Babs. When she hears I didn't find him, I... Listen, we'll have to tell her that Junior's back. Well, we'll make out that he is.
We can't do that.
Sure I can. I'll fix up pillows in Junior's bed so it looks like him. I'll use a little pillow for his head and a big pillow for his... I can do it.
But, Daddy,
Then we'll tell her that she can't disturb him because he's sound asleep.
But it's cruel to fool a mother like that, and she's sure to find out in the morning.
By that time, Junior will be back. I know it. I guarantee it. I know, boys.
No, Daddy, I won't have anything to do with it.
Please, Babs, you gotta help me out, please.
It's no use begging me,
I'm not begging you. As your father, I order you.
No.
All right, I'm begging you. You gotta do this, Babs. I just ain't got the heart to tell your mother I didn't find Junior. Not that I'm afraid of what she'll do to me. It's her I'm thinking of. She won't sleep all night.
I know.
You know how she worries? She's liable to get sick. You want your mother to get sick?
Of course not.
Well, then do like I say. At least then the poor darling will have a peaceful night.
Well, all right, if you think it's best.
I know it's best. And when have I been wrong?
But I don't like the idea of lying to Mother.
Neither do I, but when you spare somebody's feelings, you ain't lying. I ought to know. I've been sparing your mother's feelings since the day we got married. there we are, Babs. I'll just pull this blanket up a little. Now I'll put the light out. That's better. Yes, sir, you could swear Junior's sleeping in that bed.
Well, he looks a little lumpy.
Well, I won't let her get this close. Betty, your mother, come on out. Shut the door.
Oh, Riley.
Peg, I got good news.
Junior's back.
Yeah, just a little while ago.
Oh, thank heavens. I was frantic. Is he all right? I want to see him. Junior!
Shh. He's sound asleep in his room. He was dead tired, so I put him right to bed. You mustn't disturb him.
Well, I just want to take one look at him. I won't feel at ease until I do.
Oh, okay, just one peek. Shh. There he is. Don't go in. Just stand here in the doorway.
Well, I can't see very well.
Don't put the light on. You wake him up.
Oh, the poor dear. Did he have something to eat? Well...
Don't worry, he's stuffed. Now, let's get out of here before he wakes up.
Oh, what a relief to have him home. Where was he all this time, did he say?
Plenty of time for questions in the morning. Now, you better go to bed. You need rest.
Oh, yes, I'm dead. Well, good night.
Good night, Patty. It worked. She don't suspect a thing.
I still don't like the whole idea.
Well, the main thing is she stopped worrying. Tonight she's a happy mother.
But suppose she finds out you tricked her?
Then tomorrow night she'll be a happy widow. I'm going out. I gotta find that boy. What a mess. The way I feel right now, I wish the earth would open up and swallow me.
Perhaps I can help.
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, it's you, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You look terrible. Glad to see you.
I got big trouble, Digger.
A common complaint. Whenever trouble besets me, I plunge into civic work. I've just come from the UEPSALC.
UEPSALC?
The Undertakers, Embalmers, and Pallbearers Save a Life Club. We're campaigning for careful driving.
Driving? That's what started the trouble with my boy. Now he's run away.
Oh, you have my sympathy. Once, when I lived in New York, my son Mustang ran away.
Did you have trouble finding him?
I asked myself, where would a son of mine run away to? So I went there, and there he was, in Grant's tomb.
Well, I can't find my boy anywhere.
Did you search thoroughly? In our profession, we have a saying, leave no stone unturned.
Well, I looked all over town. I tell you, Digger, this whole thing's made me sick.
And your dear wife? He must be frantic.
Oh, she's okay now. You see, I told her he came back home, and she believed me.
And she thinks the boy is safe?
Yeah.
Man alive, if you'll pardon the expression. What possessed you to play such a cruel, practical joke?
Well, I didn't want her to worry tonight.
Beware, Riley, or your joke may boomerang, which happened to the late Ambrose Twill, whose epitaph I quote. Here lies Ambrose Twill, who thought 'twould be funny to scare the life out of Grandpa and inherit his money. He lit a 12-inch firecracker, but then forgot to throw it. Now Ambrose is in clover, but he doesn't know it.
Well, I'll find Junior by morning. I've got to.
But suppose you don't. Think of the shock to your beloved spouse. Take my advice. Go home. Tell her the truth.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'll go and tell her. Gee, Digger, you always give me such good advice. You should have been a lawyer.
Lawyer, undertaker. There's not much difference, basically. A lawyer gets people out of a hole while I... Oops, that reminds me, I have an appointment. Well, here you go. I'd better be shoveling off.
Dear.
Mother, why did you get out of bed?
Well, I heard a noise in the kitchen. Were you or your father in the kitchen before?
Well, not me, and Daddy went out. Go back to bed. You probably just imagined.
No, I didn't. I heard somebody prowling around in there. Now, come on, we better go see.
Oh, it might be a burden.
Who's there? Who's in there?
It's me, Junior. What are you... Will you put on the light?
Why'd you get up, Junior? And why are you all dressed?
I just got home.
You just got home? But I was in your room an hour ago, and I saw you sleeping, and... Oh, I see. Well, I never thought I'd live to see the day your father outsmarted me.
Daddy just put the pillows in the bed so you wouldn't worry tonight. You see, he's...
Never mind that now. The important thing is Junior's really back. Oh, darling, do you realize what a terrible thing you did?
I'm sorry, Mom. Honest,
why,
we
looked all over town for you.
Daddy's still out looking for you.
Where were you all this time?
In our garage.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Hey, Mom, I'm hungry. I didn't eat all day.
Oh, you poor dear. You must be starved.
Oh, there's your father now. Babs, make Junior a sandwich.
All right.
I'm going to have a little talk with your father.
Peg!
Here I am, Riley.
Oh, Peg, you're up. Peg, listen, there's something I got to tell you.
I've got something to tell you.
Now, let me tell you first. Prepare yourself for some shocking news. I'm a beast.
What's the shocking news?
I fooled you, Peg. Junior didn't come back. I put pillows in the bed. You see, I didn't want you to worry. Please don't be sore. It was just one of my crazy ideas, but I didn't mean any harm. You know me. Everybody says I'm harmless.
Now, listen, Robert.
Now, don't you worry, Peg. I'll find Junior. I'll have him here before morning. I guarantee it. I got a plan, see?
Oh, you have, huh?
Yeah.
Who are you phoning?
The newspaper. I'm putting in a personal ad for Junior.
Riley,
that'll bring him back. Oh. You'll see. Hello, classified ads. This is Chester Riley, 1313 Blueview Terrace. I want to put an ad in a personal column.
Riley, will you please?
Shh. I want it to go like this. Dear Junior, please come back. All is forgiven. Come back and I'll...
Hello, Pop.
Oh, I can hear his little voice now. No, no, don't put that in the ad. Say like this. Come back, Junior. I'll raise your allowance and I'll buy you a new bicycle, a red one.
With headlights.
With headlights.
Riley, hang up that phone.
When will you print it? Tomorrow morning? Okay. Peg, this ad will get Junior! You're back! You came back! What a newspaper! Junior, my little baby.
Oh, now, Pop, put me down.
Oh, Junior, darling, why did you run away? Your mother and me were so worried, darling. When we couldn't find you, we almost went crazy, darling. You deserve a good licking, darling.
Riley, what are you doing?
Taking my belt off. I never licked him before, but this time he's got to be taught a lesson.
Now, wait, Riley.
Bend over, Junior. Bend over.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Before I give it to you, I want an explanation. Why did you run away?
Well, I wasn't going to at first. I was only kidding, but...
But what?
But you talked me into it. I didn't want to run away. You forced me to.
Oh. Here, Junior, here's the belt. I'll bend over. Come on, Peg, don't be sore. I keep telling you, I just didn't want you to worry. Come on, give me a kiss.
No.
Well, okay, don't give me a kiss. I forbid you to give me a kiss. I wouldn't let you kiss me if you gave me $100.
Your psychology won't work with me.
Oh.
I wish I had $100, dear.
Oh. So now you'd like a kiss, huh?
No, I'd like a new coat.
Trapped. Procter & Gamble invites you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Reuben Shipp and Alan Lipscott. Music by Lou Kozlov. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger Odell is John Brown. Babs is Barbara Eiler. And Junior is Tommy Cook. The Life of Riley is produced and directed by Irving Brecker.
From September of 1947, it's been The Life of Riley, starring William A. Bendix in Junior Runs Away. In a moment, Box 13, starring Alan Ladd and the insurance fraud scheme, as Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Box 13 was far above most detective thrillers in production, acting, and suspense. It was independently produced and syndicated, featuring a name movie star, in this case, Alan Ladd. His role was that of Dan Holliday, former newsman who had made it as a writer of mystery novels. Holliday sought adventurous material for his books, and to find it, he ran an ad in the Star Times. Adventure wanted, will go anywhere, do anything, Box 13. He then employed a scatterbrain named Susie to screen the mail and run his office. The ad brought in mail from screwballs of all kinds. One week a racketeer's victim, the next week a psychotic killer looking for fun. It all added up to danger for Holliday and a fine piece of radio for the listener. Here now is the insurance fraud scheme, Box 13, starring Alan Ladd from Yesteryear.
Box 13, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13. Box 13. Box 13. Box 13.
Well, this is great. I come to the park to get a hot idea, but the day turns out hot, and my idea turns out cold. Idea. Well, I thought I'd find something different in a public park, and I did. A small boy mashing his ice cream cone against my brand new trousers. And all to meet a deadline. Deadline. Story idea. Why didn't I do what I should have done in the first place?
Copy. Copy, boys.
Hi, Mr. Holliday.
Hiya.
Hey, Smith, where's the lead on that fire?
Hiya, Mr. Holliday.
What do you say, Bill?
Oh, where's that interview?
Hiya, Dan.
How are you, Joe?
Where's the makeup on page 4?
Hi, Holliday.
What's a good word, boy?
Hiya, Mr. Holliday.
Hiya, Susie. Anything in box 13?
Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Now for Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Go to the park and get a story idea about romance. Sure, why not? What do I come back with? Gravel in my socks, sand in my shoes, and a June bug in my hat band. Holliday, why didn't you pick a different profession like driving a coal truck?
Mr. Holliday.
What's that, Susie?
I said, there's a message in box 13 for you.
Oh, thank you, Susie. Thanks so much.
Don't mention it. Say, you got a faraway look in your eyes today.
Yes, but only as far as the dry cleaners.
Dry cleaners?
Have you ever had a small boy wipe his ice cream cone off on your trousers?
Oh, girls don't call them trousers. In our set, it's slack.
So it is, Susie, so it is. Well, see you later.
Okay, if you say so. But I still don't like that look in your eyes. You look like you might get into trouble.
You know what I think after spending the day in the park?
What?
Trouble will be a welcome relief. Why did I ever have to decide to be a fiction writer? I could have stayed a newspaper reporter. I could have kept on writing those snappy obituary notices and worn a hat that turned up in front and shoes that did the same thing. Well, better see what's in this envelope. If you want real adventure, be at the corner of 7th and Main at 10 p.m. tonight. A black limousine will pick you up at that time. Do not try to engage the chauffeur in conversation. What's this? No signature. Oh-ho, no signature. Black limousines, chauffeurs who won't talk. Meetings on street corners at 10 o'clock at night. Well, this should be interesting. There it is, a black limousine. And look at that chauffeur.
This way, Mr. Holliday.
Thanks. What a character this driver is. He looks like he spent his nights on a nice cold slab down at the morgue. Wonder if I can get him to talk. Driver. I said, driver. Chauffeur? Oh, you? Oh, pardon me.
Through there, Mr. Holliday.
So you do talk. I was beginning to wonder about that.
This way, Mr. Holliday.
Who's that?
It's only me, Mr. Holliday.
That black suit, it makes you almost invisible, you know.
Yes, I know. Follow me. You're curious about the way you were brought here. Did it frighten you?
Maybe. Maybe not.
This room, please. My office. Well, this is very cozy. Well, I'm glad you find it so. To eliminate a lot of questions, I'd like to say this. I know all about you. All? You're a successful writer. Apparently you fear nothing, and I would presume that some of your adventures spring from that ad you run every week in the Star Times. Did you find it interesting? Adventure wanted. Will go any place, do anything. Do you catch many people with that ad? I caught you. Or is that vice versa? I had you investigated, Holliday. I know where you live, what you do. The newspapers have told me of your experiences. What are you leading up to? You'll notice I had you brought here by a devious route. I wanted to be sure no one knew you were here. Go on. How much do you know about insurance, Holliday? A great many people buy it. A great many don't. And of those who do buy, a great many intend to defraud, to steal from their insurance company. Now look, this is a racket. I'm not interested. My name is Abner Blake. I'm the chief investigator for Northern Insurance. Oh. Do you remember the disappearance of Dr. Max Alexander? I read something about it. Why? He carried a very large policy with us. He's been gone almost 7 years. When his 7 years are up, the law will permit his widow to collect. And Holliday. Yes? I don't think Alexander is dead. This man has the coldest, frostiest eyes of any professional man trailer I've ever seen. And he's loaded with energy. Energy which I'll bet has helped him track down the people who tried to cheat his insurance company. Boy, I'm glad I'm on his side. If you'll think back, Dr. Alexander performed a very delicate brain surgery on a prominent man. The operation was not successful. I remember that he was criticized in some circles for taking a chance. Immediately after the patient died, Alexander walked out of the operating room, the hospital, and so far as we've been able to prove, right out of this world. But I still feel that he's alive, somewhere. And you believe it's an insurance fraud? I'm sure it is. And I have a reputation, Holliday. No one has ever attempted to defraud Northern Insurance and has been successful. You, suspect Mrs. Alexander? Hardly. She's barely left her house in all these years. She receives no mail except from her daughter. Her daughter? She lives in New Mexico. What about your regular men? They've looked everywhere. They've come up with absolutely nothing. Police? Same thing. And you're afraid you'll have to pay off? No. Not if I have a smart man. A resourceful one. A man who can be as relentless as I am. And I think that man is you. If Shakespeare were alive, he would cast Abner Blake in the role of Macbeth and throw him an extra part as one of the witches. But that's no affair of yours, Mr. Holliday. You've got to find a man who's been gone for almost 7 years. And if you were the hero of this story, you'd go to the files of a newspaper and look into the past.
Well, if it isn't Dan Holliday, what are you doing down the morgue at the Star Times?
What would anybody be doing down in the morgue, Mac?
Well, some of them just lay there. You know me, Dad. I just got to have my little joke once in a while. Now, what was it you're looking for?
Oh, the clips on a citizen named Dr. Max Alexander. What have you got on him?
The works, Dan. The whole works.
Prominent man dies following delicate operation. Doctor criticized for taking chance. Dr. Alexander walks out of operating room and disappears. Grief-stricken wife employs private investigators when police fail to find Dr. Alexander. Dr. Alexander given up for dead. Not a bad-looking citizen, the doctor. He's been shot from more angles than this Philadelphia to Atlantic City. Kindly eyes, intelligent face, strong chin. Yes, doctor, when I see you, I'll know you. And I hope to see you soon.
Yes?
Oh, I'm Dan Holliday, Miss Alexander. I'd like to talk to you about your husband.
My husband is dead.
Well, some people think he isn't.
They found something. They think he's alive. Come in. Now then, Mr. Holliday, who are you? And why are you looking for the doctor?
A commission from the insurance company. I hoped you might give me some information.
It was on all the front pages.
That's exactly as it happened?
Yes. He was never seen again. Oh, Mr. Holliday, If only you could find some trace of him.
I'm going to try.
You don't know how terrible it is. Almost 7 years. But still, I've had the feeling that he'll come back someday. He'll look for me, too.
Well, of course.
I miss him so.
What about your daughter?
After her father's disappearance, she couldn't stand it here in town. She went to our ranch in New Mexico.
Oh?
Her father's disappearance broke her heart. I pray you find him.
Mrs. Alexander, so do I. Mrs. Alexander is a grief-stricken old lady. One who sincerely wants her husband back. So, where to look first? This is the build-up to the main story, Holiday, and if you're smart, you'll bring in all the characters.
Where to, mister?
I want a drawing room to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Well, Holiday, you've got a railroad ticket and an hour to make the train. Better get back to your apartment. A quick shower, pack your bag, and get on your way.
We've been waiting for you, Mr. Holiday.
Well, gentlemen, is this a pleasant intrusion? And I hope you are gentlemen.
We were positive you wouldn't mind.
Oh, of course not. People break in here regularly.
Good. Sit down.
If you don't mind, I like the air up here.
As you wish. I understand you like to travel, Mr. Holiday.
Travel? A wonderful pastime, travel.
Ever think of South America?
Often. You see, I'm a Carmen Miranda fan.
How would you like to go to South America? For me. All expenses paid. For as long as you want to stay.
What would I have to do?
Just forget a few things.
Like New Mexico?
Particularly New Mexico.
Give me about 2 weeks and I'm your man.
You don't seem to understand. You're leaving tonight.
Well, that's what I mean. But I'm going west.
No. South.
You and I would make a nice compass together. Now, suppose you point north and walk right out of this apartment. Oh, and don't forget your gorilla.
You mean Spencer?
If that's his name, I mean Spencer.
You'll hurt his feelings talking that way.
Well, that makes us even. Just looking at him hurts mine.
Is it, South America?
In a way. At least I'm showing you the open door policy. Now get out, you and your gorilla.
Spencer.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Oh?
I said get out.
Have you ever stopped to consider something, Mr. Holliday?
What?
You may never get to New Mexico.
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holiday.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now, back to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holiday.
Well, well. Now you've got all the ingredients for a story. Insurance investigator doesn't believe doctor is dead. Wife doesn't believe doctor is dead. Two men try to stop Ryder from making further investigation. All right, Holiday. Write the rest of the plot.
Well, maybe you'd better hit the sack.
This is very pleasant. I've got a comfortable drawing room, and I'll bet it's got 1,000 springs to ease my worries. Oh, the man with the urge to send me to South America. Well, I've got something for him. Go. Now, fellow, what's the big idea breaking in here?
I'm sorry. I must have come into the wrong drawing room.
You came into the wrong apartment a couple of hours ago. Now, what do you want?
I just want to go to sleep.
In my traveling bag?
I was looking for my razor. I wanted to shave.
You just had a close one. Come on.
Where?
To find out if you got space in this train. If you haven't, we'll make some for you. Under guard in the baggage car. This is fine. I couldn't prove a thing. My friend had space, and to the conductor, it seemed like a perfectly logical thing to mistake car 19 for car 18. I wonder who this man is and who's in back of him.
Next stop, Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. Well, that's the end of the line for me. And I hope I don't mean that too literally. Long distance? I want to speak to Catherine Alexander at the Bar Cross Bar Ranch just outside of Belmont. Yes.
Hello?
Miss Alexander?
Yes?
This is Dan Holliday. Wonder if I might come out to the ranch and see you.
Oh, you're the man who's looking for Father. Mother wired me about you.
Was it complimentary?
Mother said she believed if anyone could find Dad, you could. Come right out. I want to talk to you.
And I want to talk to you.
Cab, mister?
Yeah, ever hear of Valmont?
Sure did.
Know where it is?
Sure do.
Very far?
Sure is.
Can you take me there?
Sure can. You got enough money to pay for the trip?
Sure have.
Let's go, then.
Sure thing. This is New Mexico, Holiday. Breathe deeply and treat your lungs to a shot of straight ozone. 20 miles to Belmont, and all you've seen on the whole trip is four buzzards, three in the air, and the one driving. And if he's a cab driver, I'm a flying disc.
Car behind.
Yeah, so I hear.
Wants me to pull over.
Don't do it.
Know them fellas?
One of them is Spencer.
Friend of yours?
That depends on what you mean by friend.
I gotta pull up. Those guys are gonna run me in the ditch.
Can you fight?
Nope.
Then can you recommend a good dentist?
What for?
Something tells me that when this is over, I'm gonna need a new set of teeth.
You feel better, young man?
Yeah, thanks. What happened after those two fellas jumped me? Who are you?
My name is Moran. I'm the caretaker up at the Bar Cross Bar Ranch. I was coming down this way when you were forced off the road.
Well, what happened to the driver?
Last I saw of him, he was just a cloud of dust.
I remember now. I got out of the car. He drove away.
Those two fellows started to beat you up good. When they saw me coming, they ran off, too. You had a mighty close call, young man.
I had three of them. After this, my luck runs out.
Somebody after you?
And vice versa. Say, how far is the ranch?
Half a mile up the road. Better take it easy.
Come on, I've got to get to the ranch.
Feel you can make it?
My friend, I've got to make it. This is not good. Spencer and his gorilla followed me all the way out here trying to stop me at every turn. Maybe I'm getting warm. But if that's true, why hasn't someone else found Dr. Alexander?
Here's the ranch house, Mr. Holliday. You say Miss Catherine was expecting you?
Yes, but hardly in this condition.
You're Dan Holliday. Oh, what happened? You're all beaten up.
So this is Catherine Alexander. What a beautiful girl. And what beautiful eyes.
You'd better lie down, Mr. Holliday. You're badly hurt.
Oh, no, thanks, Miss Alexander. I don't feel that bad. I just look that way.
Anything more I could do, Miss Kathy?
Oh, no. No, and thank you so much. If you hadn't come along, Mr. Holliday might have been badly injured. Perhaps fatally.
Thank you, Miss Kathy.
Now then, how about a hot shower? You can get a rub down and change of clothes.
Miss Alexander, you read a man's mind.
Sometimes that's a pleasure. Depending on the man.
You're depending on me?
What do you think?
like it. Hot shower, brisk rub down, little iodine on a few... Ouch, that stings. And Catherine was kind enough to loan me some riding clothes. That should indicate a sojourn in the saddle out on the desert. With the stars blinking their approval of my companion. Blinking approval? Holiday, you're an incurable romantic.
Isn't this beautiful? That gorgeous sky and the stars.
You love it, don't you?
I always have. Always will.
Have you been here long?
The Bar Cross Bar belonged to my dad. We used to come out during the summer. Now I live here all the time.
Alone?
Oh, there's always Moran.
Moran? He's a strange old fellow.
People around here say he's a little attached. But he's been wonderful to me.
Oh, say, those men who jumped me down the road. Moran, ever seen him before?
How could he? They were strangers.
Oh. Your mother told me you've been searching for your father a long time.
Yes. Mother and I have spent a fortune on private detectives, investigators, following up leads, but nothing ever happened.
Yes, I know. Oh, tell me, Miss Alexander.
Kathy, please.
Kathy, have you any idea where I might begin to look? I thought you might give me a starting point.
Not unless it would be back in the city. He just walked out one day. No one ever saw him again.
Well, I'd better go back there and start from scratch.
You don't have to leave right away.
I'd enjoy staying a while.
Maybe I have been lonesome. Perhaps I've forgotten what companionship can be.
Perhaps.
You'll stay a while?
A while.
Good. See, the time. We'll be much too late for dinner. Come on, I'll race you.
You're on.
I'll
beat you. I'm at the corral gate already. Kathy, look out! Kathy.
Mr. Holliday, what happened?
You were racing. The horse stumbled over that lower bar and threw her. Look at that gash in her head.
She's unconscious. I hope she isn't seriously hurt.
Don't stand there, man. Get into the house. Call a doctor.
Yes, a doctor. A doctor.
Hurry, will you?
Of course. Get into the medicine cabinet in the house. I need some bandages. She may be suffering from multiple contusions.
Multiple contusions?
Or even a compound skull fracture. Hurry, will you?
Compound skull fracture?
I don't know if you can find it. Hurry, I said. There isn't much time.
Okay, Dr. Alexander.
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Now I'm back in the city again, walking up the street towards that same grim gray house where I first met Abner Blake. Up the steps, Holliday, and write the final chapter.
That was a nice job, Holliday.
I was nice about it.
What do you mean?
You didn't see the look in Dr. Alexander's eyes when he recovered his mind. And that lovely, lovely girl being mixed up in a deal like this.
If you feel sorry for her, you're making a big mistake.
Yes, I know. She was following him the day he walked out into the country. She'd almost caught up with him when a hit-and-run driver knocked him down.
That's when she got the idea for the disappearance act.
Why not? The doctor's face had been so damaged no one would ever recognize him. And he'd lost his memory to top it off.
We've got the daughter and the mother in custody.
Just think, if she hadn't have fallen off that horse, I might never have been able to prove that Dr. Alexander was alive.
I know.
Hiding him on his own ranch was the daughter's idea, too.
Why not? No one would pay attention to an old man puttering around the place.
I've got a story, and I don't like it. Mother and daughter hide amnesia victim to collect insurance.
Oh, excuse me. Blake speaking. Yes, he's here. For you, Holliday.
Oh, thanks. Hello.
Mr. Holliday, this is Susie.
Oh, yes, Susie.
There's a message for you in Box 13. Shall I read it to you?
No, Susie, you know you're not supposed to open my mail.
But this is already open. It's a postcard.
Oh. Is it interesting?
I think it is.
All right, come on, come on. Tell me what it says.
It says, rental for Box 13, $15.
Oh, fine. Goodbye, Susie.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and may currently be seen in Wild Harvest. Box 13 is written and directed by Ted Hediger. Original music was composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager.
From March 22nd of 1948, it's been The Insurance Fraud Scheme, Box 13, starring Alan Ladd. Well, with that bit of drama, that's all we have time for on this edition of Yesteryear, but we'll make it a point to join you again next week at this time and invite you and perhaps even a friend to listen to the best of the golden age of radio right here on Yesteryear. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. Good night, Gracie.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show.
SRDB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.